All right, it's time for us to begin our class in here tonight. I'd like to welcome you all here. We have this little review as we've talked about these subjects throughout our time together. We talked about resentment last time. And leading into tonight, we'll be talking about anger, right? As anger is a part of dealing with when things go wrong. It might not be your favorite subject to deal with. Maybe you think somebody else needs to be talking about it. There are some people who get angry when you bring up the subject of anger because they don't have an anger issue, right? So anyway, we need to deal with this. It's something that everybody goes through. Everybody has processed anger at some point, in some way, in some fashion, in their life. If you haven't, we need to talk, right? Something ain't right, right? So when we look at passages about anger, is it wrong to be angry? Let's just get this off the top, right? No, it is not wrong to be angry, right? Even this, it says be angry, but what? Where's the struggle in this? Not sinning when you're angry, right? That's the issue. That's the rub. That's where it gets difficult. So the anger itself is not the sin. And even God is an angry God. He's a just God, and he can be angry in a just way. But the not sinning part, this is a struggle. And why? Why do we not want anger to be a part of our life and not to sin? What does that leave us open to? According to this passage. The devil's opportunity, right? So undealt with or not dealing with anger and just leaving it there and festering. I didn't sin in that moment, but I haven't dealt with that anger. We leave a door of opportunity open for Satan later on. When we eventually, that will come out. When we look at other passages, Colossians 3, that's going to do that every single time. I forgot to take that off there. Anyway, it'll be fun. Colossians 3, but now you, so who's responsible for my anger? You. Me, right? What do we usually say about anger about angry? They made me angry, right? Right? So, the devil made, so yeah, so we need to make sure that we take responsibility for our anger. It's ours, not anybody else's. But you put all these things aside. Anger, wrath, malice, these are all the different kind of forms that anger takes on. We don't have time to get into that necessarily, but in the end, what sometimes happens, would you say that abusive speech happens sometimes when we get angry? So other people, right? Other people sometimes have abusive speech when they get angry. So that happens. So we need to make sure we keep that in check as well. And we'll get to some ways of doing that. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be what? Quick to hear. Have you heard the analogy about God's give us two ears and one mouth? Why? So we listen twice as much as we talk, right? I'm not going to get into any details on that, but quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And again, that goes back to who God is, and sometimes we might feel justified in our anger. I'm angry for the right reasons, but our anger isn't, we might not know all the details about that certain event that took place. We might think we know, but we know we don't know as much as God does in that particular event, that trigger event, and we'll talk about that. Psalm 37, cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. And it's easy to say, right? Did you know that anger is a secondary emotion? Anger is a secondary emotion. This passage says, do not fret. As it worry, anxiety, those things tend to be sometimes a primary emotion, and then anger takes on its own form, its own beast, when that hasn't been dealt with. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But the Bible even here, you know, talks about that, at least refers to it in this way. James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 also deal with anger, talking about how you covet things and you get angry or you get upset because you don't have those things. Who was the first person that we read about that got angry and made a poor choice in their anger? Cain, right? That's a textbook example of somebody not dealing with their anger, and it ran away with them. They got caught up in that anger. And so... I find that interesting. Proverbs 15, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. Maybe we need to ask, who am I? Which one of these am I? Am I one that's going to be quick? Maybe in certain circumstances I might be, but in others maybe I'm slow to anger, or am I known as somebody who is slow or calm to be rash? And then this passage talks about, do not associate with a man who's given to anger. Am I losing relationships because of my anger? Have we asked that question? Or maybe, is there someone that I avoid because they're an angry person in general? When you talk to them, a lot of times they get angry or whatever, so I avoid that person altogether. So on both sides of this, we understand what it is. You've been in walked into a room where somebody's angry, and it just feels wrong, right? And in this case, you know, we don't want to be with those kind of person. A fool always loses his temper. What do we say about a person like, what are some phrases we refer to people who always lose their temper? We call it what? Fly off the handle, you know, hot natured. You know, there's a lot of different phrases we use for somebody who's like this. But a wise man holds it back. Now, there's a healthy way of holding it back, and there's an unhealthy way of holding it back, and we'll talk about that later on. But a wise man holds it back and deals with it in a healthy way, if we were to. That's the subtext. If you break down the Hebrew, that's what it really says. Just kidding, it's a joke, sorry. Anyway, moving on. All right, so Ecclesiastes 7:9, do not be eager in your heart to be angry. And this goes back to a concept we talked about last week, and that maybe our go-to response to things is anger. And I kind of shared with you that when I'm afraid, my mask for that, when my child is possibly almost got hurt, and I'm fearful, what you see is anger, right? But I'm really afraid because I almost lost. I'm upset because I almost lost my child, but they see this angry person instead of the root emotion that's there, right? So that can be a cover for us. So we'll make sure that we're not that eager in that, but make sure that we put those things aside. All right. So if we check our anger, and we're getting a handle on our anger, is it really even possible, right, to get a handle on anger? Would you agree with the statement that anger is tough to modify? Why would you say yes? I agree with you, but why would you say yes? Yes, there's different situations. There may be a situation where I can be cool, calm, and copacetic in this situation, but you put me over here, and I'm a tinderbox, right? Like, there's no telling what's going to happen, and so maybe it's situational, and we'll get to that. It's a very good point. Why else is anger tough to modify? It's somebody else's fault. They made me this way, right? We might not take ownership of that. And it's their fault. This is a completely natural and rational way of responding by throwing plates across the room at somebody. Completely rational. So it's tough to modify if we don't deal with it. If we don't talk about it. If we don't, like, as it kind of goes back to owning up to it, talking about anger. And maybe we don't know why we're angry. Have you been angry and you don't know why? I'm angry about something or I'm anxious about something, but I don't know the root cause. I don't know the root, and that's another issue sometimes. Would you agree that anger is supercharged? Have you ever seen it just escalate and you just got to leave the room because you have no idea where this is going? Anger gets supercharged. It feeds on itself sometimes, and it can run away. It also can deal, it deals with even a physical response. What do we say? What physical things do we notice about somebody who is angry? Their face is red. Their hands are shaky, right? Adrenaline dumps on you. What else? They get loud, their voice, or they get quiet. When my grandfather got really quiet, you wanted to pay attention, right? So it depends on who you're dealing with. Yes, sir? Yes, so actually it changes your vision. Like, have you ever heard somebody, so angry I couldn't see straight? That's a physical, actual response. Like, literally couldn't see straight. They were so angry. And so these are things that not only does it affect us in that moment, but long-term anger undealt with is not healthy either. You have a higher risk of heart attack. You have a higher risk of other health issues because of long-term anger. Yes, sir? A blind rage. Just getting into, you don't even think. And rationality is like, well, just stop being angry. Well, all right. at that point they've gone berserk. Right? There's no pulling them off that ledge. So it does get to that point. Anger is a big stressor. Yes, sir. Yes, and we're going to talk about the ABCs of that here in a moment. Not just road rage, but just how that deteriorates. And that's actually going to be our example. You see that, but people lose their minds. How many of you watch videos of road rage videos? People stop their cars, get out of their cars to attack somebody else. Anybody else watch those videos? Just me. Okay, so they're on YouTube if you want to know. But anyway, so that happens. It's very informative. Step one, do not unlock your doors. Do not roll down your windows if somebody approaches your car. Just so you know. What else? Well, anger prevents problem solving. Why would you think this is the case? Why does anger prevent problem solving? Rationality is gone. Anger is very much very visceral emotion, right? When you get caught up into that, any kind of logic, any kind of reasoning is gone, right? We're only seeing that target. We get tunnel vision in our anger. Any kind of reasoning, any kind of outside peripheral things are gone. And we're very much focused on whatever that target is. So anger prevents problem solving. How does anger distort the truth? It can be one-sided. I have my version of what happened, and these are the facts, just the facts. Yes, ma'am. Yes, so that might work with children, the cold rag. It probably wouldn't work with me. But yes, with children, yes. So there is a way of, like in that case, you're diverting. Did y'all hear what she was saying as far as, so anger can be a situation where, well, I kind of got lost in some of the details. But in dealing with children, if you can divert their attention, and in this case she mentioned even just a cold rag to cool them down and divert their attention before you even ask what's going on. Get them to change how they're thinking. Is that a nutshell? Okay. Yeah, so we in this case, redirecting our memory of the events that took place so they can respond in a healthy way, which maybe just be a question, right? What do we want to do about this? Have you seen somebody that's like super angry, but they're not thinking beyond their anger? But maybe we can ask a question, what do we want to do about this? And start, you know, diverting the situation. But when it distorts truth, we see and we seem to justify our anger, right? They always do this. They did this because they were out to get me. My teacher hates me. And all these different things that we hear about, things that justify our anger, and they're not necessarily true. We see that through our filter of anger, and that becomes our truth. That becomes the reason why we're fighting back against the system, because we think we know what's going on. And then anger is addictive. Anger is addictive because once it becomes sort of our default, this is how I react in this situation, it can be how we react in various situations. I've done it once, it was successful. I've done it once and there wasn't any great recourse. And we can continue anger becomes something that becomes addictive, much like any other attribute. Yes, ma'am. Yes. When we talk about passive-aggressive anger, anger can be very manipulative. We use anger as a weapon, and that's not healthy either. Yes, ma'am.
I think it's more than addictive. It becomes a habit.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, and that habit addiction kind of can be either way, but yes, it becomes just our rote way of handling the situation. Is to get angry. Well, don't talk to that person about that because they're just going to get angry about it, right? So people know that, well, they're just going to get angry if we bring up this situation. They know that's how they're going to react. Yes. Yes, there is a big chemistry change when you get angry, and even long-term anger affects. That's where long-term anger can go into depression and a lot of other things, is because it affects our chemistry even, how our brain functions. We can get addicted to those things. So this could be a lot longer list, but I tried to use some generality so it covers a lot of different things. But when we think about anger, what are some things that would violating our rights, would that be a reason why we might get angry about something? I have my rights. And this is not, I'm not talking about my inalienable rights, but just the things that I believe I should be able to do, and you violated that system. How about unrealistic expectations? They did not behave in this certain situation the way I thought they should be behaving, and I'm angry about it. They're not behaving the way I think they should. Might be unrealistic. Fear, again, we talked about that. Fear and anxiety are usually root causes for anger. And like I said before, anger is a secondary thing. Disappointment, angry that they didn't make the right choice or they didn't do this thing. We make ourselves angry. Have you ever worked yourself up into being angry? You thought about a certain set of a situation that took place, and you know what? The more I think about it, they meant to do this, right? And we start working ourselves, we get ourselves all worked up in a lather, right? And then we still get all hot and bothered about certain situations, and we make ourselves angry. And that's something that can happen. Blame, we're unjust blame upon ourselves. Certain injustices can make us angry. I've been physically angry about injustice before, and just angry to the point of tears about something that took place that I felt was unjust. Could I have done anything about it? Nope. But again, we work ourselves up in that situation. Shame. Dealing with shame that is not ours to bear. Maybe somebody is trying to put shame upon us for something we did, or maybe stuck in a bad situation. I can't change what's going on, but I'm angry about it. I can't change it. And we'll talk about some of this as well. So when we talk about anger, here's what causes anger, or maybe some triggers of anger, I think is a better way of looking at this. But if we broke this down into the ABCs of anger, is that helpful? Is it helpful to have something like this to think about the process of anger? I think for me it is. With anger, there's usually an activating event. What is an activating event for anger? Are you asking me personally or for a friend, right? I'm commenting for a friend. Yes, sir. Yes. And so we're going to use the car analogy. I was already planning on doing that, so thank you very much. So how many of us have seen other people get angry while they're driving? We've seen other people get angry. Ourselves don't necessarily do that, but other people get angry, right? It's a trigger. Have you heard people talk about trigger or trigger words or being triggered? It's just something that sets you off. And so we're going to talk a little bit about ways to prevent from pulling that trigger or being triggered. But in this case, here is this event, right? This event took place. And this event by itself may not get us to the point of being just, you know, Hulk, right? We might not go into Hulk mode on just the trigger event, right? However, if you have a trigger event plus a belief or bias, well, what do we mean by a belief or bias? How about hostile attribution? They pulled out in front of me. They meant to do it. They saw my license plate. They know I like this person. They know I like these things. They saw my bumper sticker. And they meant to do this. They have a license plate from a certain state. They're always going to do that. They do that. Right? Huh? Oh, wait. We're not talking about the validity of this. This is a hypothetical, right? This never happens. This is a hypothetical, okay? Hypothetical. So hostile attribution or bias assumes the intent of that person. So here's a trigger event plus my bias, plus this thing. Or we might hold a belief about how people should act. Nobody should ever cut anybody off. There's no reason to cut anybody off. You have rear view mirrors for a reason. You can get plenty ahead of them if you can't just wait or slow down and go behind them, right? You have other options on the road. I've talked to myself about this, okay? Yeah, the horn's complete. That's how we react. So how we think everybody should act. We have this belief that everybody should know the law, that everybody should be respectful, and that everybody should be calm and courteous to everybody else on the road. That would be like in the perfect world, that might be happening. But We know that's not the case, right? We know it's not the case. And it might be an accident. Have we ever stopped to consider the fact that they didn't see me? That it was an accident? And have we, if we're really honest, I mean really honest, have we ever done it? Oh, no, I that one time, but I, you know, I have a justified reason for doing it, right? So we have to be, you know, we have this bias. We might exaggerate. So here's this trigger situation, and then we might exaggerate what happened. Does anger exaggerate the circumstances of an event? Oh, man. Have you ever heard somebody tell their story of their of the series of events that took place? And you feel like you got to, like, buckle yourself in because it's going to be... it's going to be dramatic, these series of events, right? And so, yes, it can. We can believe it was worse than it really was, and we exaggerate the circumstances and make it much, much bigger than what it was. What do we call that? We make a mountain out of a molehill, right? So we do that. We've been known. Other people have been known to do those things. Or we believe that, oh, I just can't handle it. I can't handle it. Whatever the certain circumstances are, or that trigger was, or whatever happened, I just can't handle it. And that becomes like, well, I can handle things up to this point. And then after that, I'm triggered. Because I can only handle it up to here. To the moon, Alice, right? So up to here, up to a certain point. Maybe you have to be like 40 and older to get that reference. Okay. We have a low frustration tolerance, and we believe we have a low frustration tolerance, and we tell ourselves, well, I can do everything, but here I just can't. And we give ourselves permission to get angry. I can't. I wave my wand and I can't. Yes, ma'am. Yes, there's actually, as far as the bad effects of anger, even tied to cancer. People who are in similar situations, even family that have maybe the same type of cancer, one person is much more chill, one person is much more angry all the time, the anxiety and everything, they've not been able to overcome the cancer because of that certain, and that's not always the case, but there's a lot of different cases and studies that have been done on the effects of anger. You're very, very right. And it is very much that thing that just kind of eats us up inside, that and we hang on to it. Sometimes we wear it as a badge, sometimes it becomes just what we are, our coping mechanism, and it's not healthy by any means. And so how do we deal with it? We know what it is. We know it's not right, and we know we shouldn't do it. And in this case, with this ABC, the C is the emotional consequence. So I have the activating event. I have a belief or bias, and maybe we need to work on our belief or bias systems. And then those things culminate in the emotional consequence. It might be small. It might be, you know, just a grumble. They cut me off, right? Or it might be me yelling out loud, or it might be me rolling down the window and yelling at them, right? So how you respond might be based on your belief or bias, or if you have that or not, or how much that can affect us. So here's kind of an ABCs, and this works not just obviously with road rage, but deals with various things. Any type of anger that we deal with, we go through something similar to this. So ways to manage, or ways to work with anger. Here are some classic things. We've talked about venting it. Or people have mentioned venting it. I just need to vent. You just need to listen to me, right? Now, venting is not exploding and emotionally vomiting it really. Like, have you ever seen, like, Mentos into Diet Coke? That's not venting, right? That's just everything from the abyss of my soul. Everything's coming out, right? That's not what we're talking about. Venting, if we really want to try and do it in a healthy way, venting is I bring it out in metered, deal with session by session, and I have somebody to help me work through these things. I'm bringing up in a healthy way, because if we vent and start venting uncontrollably, what happens? I'm angry again, right? It comes back. So it can help in certain scenarios, or maybe with smaller things. We just got to make sure we do it the right way. Now, does stuffing it work? My name is Josh, and I used to stuff. Have you ever just held all your emotions inside? I am not angry, I promise. I'm not angry. Have you done that? Are you angry? Yes, you're angry. You're angry. But what happens when we do this and we don't deal with it? We explode. I believe Pompeii is a good representation of what happens, right? So Vesuvius explodes, right? That is not a healthy way, and it eats us, as you were saying before, it eats us inside. I'm holding it in. Why do we get here? Why do we think this is healthy? Or why maybe do we do this? Okay, it's non-confrontational. That was a big one for me. I hated conflict. I hated dealing with something. Because of my past and other things, I could not deal with conflict, so I just held it inside. I didn't want to deal with it. Making everything just covering it up was an easy way of dealing with it. Is it really? Everybody loses. Another reason we do it is because, is angry pretty? Nobody likes to be around an angry person. Can I really show how I honestly feel about that? Would they believe me that I'm angry about this? Can I communicate rationally that I'm angry about a certain situation? And I'm afraid to really show how angry I am about this. Yes, ma'am. Yes, so that's very good. So maybe I misunderstood. If I actually let anybody know about this, they wouldn't understand why I'm angry about this certain thing. And so stuffing becomes an unhealthy attribute. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yes. What does God say about a timestamp on our anger? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, we need to acknowledge that it's there, and we need to deal with it and as quick as possible. Is God doing this because He wants us to be all these just smiley people all the time? Right? No. Not He's wanting us to deal with an unhealthy thing. Right? He wants us to, because it is to our detriment if we don't deal with it. And so we need to not do that. So what's something else we can do? Well, let's try preventing it. What? Preventing anger? Not preventing anger. Not preventing the anger, but preventing the unhealthy ways what manifests is the proper way of doing this. Yes. Yes. Yes, you're a good student, Dirk. You're getting ahead of us, brother. All right. So ways to manage or prevent it. Think before you speak. Have you tried that?
Yeah.
Maybe I just give me a second. Let me talk amongst myself before we to go any further on this. Yes, ma'am. Okay, no worries. I'll trigger it later on. All right. Communicate. Give me a second to think about this. Maybe even put a timestamp on it. Give me 5 minutes, all right? And then let's talk about this. And when we communicate, there's certain ways we need to communicate, and we'll talk about it in a second. Give yourself a moment. That's, again, thinking before we speak. Maybe physical activity. I need to do something healthy. Yes, ma'am. Excellent. Yes. Exactly. So doing a kind deed for somebody else gets us off us, less introspective and more helping out others. That's a great physical activity, a great thing to do to get our minds off that. Eventually we have to come back and unpack whatever that event was, but in the moment, I'm just too hot to do that. Yes, ma'am. Breathe. There's a song about it. Just breathe. All right. So we need to breathe, right? Because it does affect, like we get all like closed up. We need to make sure that we're breathing. And in doing that, we need to identify solutions. What are some things I can do to help this? Yes. Mm-hmm. So anybody in this room? Yes, and that's another mechanism as far as taking a moment, breathing, and writing it out is very helpful. That's for a lot of different things, but anger is great. If I had the time to do that, to write out and then read it, and it's like, oh, that's like, what was this? If you can read it, I don't know, I'd be able to read my own handwriting when I'm angry. But yes, that is very helpful to process, and we'll get to that as well. As far as identifying solutions, what are some ways that I need to avoid a certain trigger? I need to do something, change something, so I'm not in this path again. Stick with I statements when you're communicating. I feel this way, or I, and so you take ownership for what you, your part in this, and you're not, well, you always do this, and you, and you, and you. What is that? What is that? That's attacking, that's accusatory, that's putting the fault on them. I feel this way when this happens. It makes me feel this way when this event takes place, right? So you're putting that type of language. So you're recognizing that you need to work on yourself, but also communicating with them that here's something that isn't helpful. Now, what happens if I don't communicate? That is it's like step one for being an anger stuffer is not communicating that you have been angered. That was one thing that was very, very difficult for me is to actually communicate, this made me angry. That was hard because it involves what? Dun, 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 confrontation, right? I actually have to tell somebody. But confrontation is not a problem. It can be healthy. It can be good. It can be a growing experience if we allow it and do it, allow it to be and do it in the right way. There's a way it can be not so healthy, but there's a way it can be great. But this is a start to that, the I statements. Don't hold a grudge. I'm managing preventing anger. I'm going to be angry at everybody else. I'm going to let everything else go, but this one person I'm not going to. What do we do? If I hold a grudge, what am I doing? I'm stuffing again, and I'm doing what else? You're carrying that around again. What else did you say? Resentment comes into place, right? I'm holding this grudge. I begin to villainize this person, and I create this whole like situation around that one grudge, and it becomes horrible and the root of some horror movies. But anyway, we need to make sure that we're not holding on to a grudge because we also give ourselves permission to not like somebody or to be angry at somebody. So I'm giving myself permission to do that, and that's obviously not healthy. Can humor help a situation? All right. Could that be? Can we add that to the tally of soft answers? Maybe yes. Timing is important, as all humor, right? As all humor, timing is important, right? That's right, right? We can use humor. The most important. Oh, never mind. I'll leave that alone. I was going to tell a joke, but I'll leave it alone. Practice relaxing. We talked about breathing, just breathing, relaxing, doing something to kind of loosen your body up because you get all tense. Your neck gets tense. Use problem solving. What can I do to change? This is similar to identifying solutions, but look at ways of getting out of this situation. Know when you need, if I'm angry all the time and I can never not be angry, I'm just angry, angry, angry all the time, right? And I've tried, I've done things I need to do, but it just seems like it might be time to, hey, I need to talk to somebody about dealing with anger, about how to help with my anger. And that I'm not saying necessarily that you have to go and pay by the hour. I'm just saying maybe talk to somebody and say, am I thinking rationally about this situation? Do you have somebody in your life that you can just bounce things off of and say, hey, am I the only one that thinks this is weird? And maybe a good enough friend, not a yes man or woman. You know what I'm talking about. You know somebody in your life that you can go to and they will tell you, yes, you're absolutely justified in hating this person, right? Don't go to that person. Not the healthy person. You go to the person that you know will give you straight up answer and will tell you you're crazy when you're crazy. You need a friend that will tell you you're crazy when you're crazy, all right? That's a healthy thing. Find a friend like that that loves you enough to say, you're crazy, right? That's not normal, right? And so that's very helpful. And so we may need to try that before paying by the hour. It's cheaper. All right. Ways to process anger. Give yourself permission to be angry. Is it all right to be angry? Yes. It is. The Bible says it's all right for me to be angry. I can be angry, but I don't need to sin afterwards. Now, there are people out there who don't like, and they've seen anger so much maybe in their family, and they don't want to continue that cycle of anger, and so they won't even let themselves feel. They'll do as much as they can to just bottle it up inside because I'm afraid of what's going to happen if I don't deal with it or if I let it out, right? You explode. And so give yourself permission to be angry within parameters. Yes, sir? Yes. Mm-hmm. He made that whip, by the way, if you read all the accounts. He made it. Yes. Yes, and that's... Yeah, yeah, no, and that's righteous indignation. That's the anger of God. That's just, he could look into the souls of those men and know and to do exactly what needed to be done. We see righteous indignation with police, with those who are enforcing a law. We see that with maybe in wartime, in those certain circumstances. But that is extreme such a scenario that we generally don't get involved in. But you're exactly right. There can be righteous indignation as well. But that's a very, very thin line there. And there's some judgment calls there. But yes. So there is permission to be angry, but the sin part is the hard part. How about reporting feelings of anger? And this goes back to communication. This goes back to talking to somebody through this. Do no harm. Do no harm means not just physically. Not just physically, do no harm. When we talked about putting away anger, malice, and wrath, evil speaking, right? That evil speaking can do generations of damage to people if we're not careful. So do no harm in processing anger. Yes? Yes, I need to be quiet and walk away from this scenario. And that's very much the case sometimes. But a lot, knowing when to do that. And again, there's preventing it, and then there's processing it. Preventing it in that in the moment, I can do these things. In the moment, maybe there's something here. Processing it is maybe after the fact or anger that I haven't dealt with as well. And then identify or handle the trigger points. If I know that as soon as I get on 95, somebody's going to do something because they always do, right? Maybe that's a trigger for me. I'm taking the beeline. I'm taking military trail. I'm doing something else because I need to avoid that for a while, right? Maybe I build myself up. Can you get away from bad drivers? You can't. Anyway, sorry, that's a bias. Anyway, so I recognize trigger points. I recognize those things, and I identify with them, and I put in place a way to handle those things. And then lastly, ask someone to help maybe if this is something we need to do. How much time do we have? Three. Oh, nice. Okay. All right. Maybe. All right. Barriers to anger, anger control, ego. Does ego get in the way of anger? Of controlling our anger, rather? They've slighted me, right? My honor demands that I do this, right? My mom gave us permission, you know, early on in life. I didn't understand what she meant until after I heard somebody say yes, but called me something, called me a name that actually threw shade on my mother. You know what I'm talking about? My mom gave me permission to say, that you don't have to fight for my honor. You're fine, right? You don't have to fight for my honor. And maybe we need to give ourselves, do I have to fight for my ego? Do I have to defend? The person that is strong enough, healthy enough, emotionally sound enough, doesn't have to fight for ego. But there are other ways that ego gets in the way. Well, I'm justified in this anger, or they shouldn't have done this to me, of all people. But there's ways that ego gets in the way. And to make sure that if I'm dealing with anger, making sure that I'm keeping ego out of the way. And communication. If I'm not communicating, there is no way I'm going to be able to deal with anger. I'm not communicating why I'm getting angry. I'm not communicating how I'm getting angry. Have you ever seen somebody just gets angry and they shut down? They don't talk for days? Not a healthy coping mechanism for anger. Not healthy. You put yourself in control in that moment, and you make everybody else feel bad because I'm not going to talk about it, and you need to feel bad for a few days before we actually talk about this. Not healthy. That doesn't work. Again, ego and communication are two key barriers to dealing with anger. And then lastly, we might need to deal with some conflict resolution in dealing with anger. Then Matthew 23, a brother has aught against me. And then in 8:15, a brother has sinned against you. And so in both cases, we should be meeting in the middle in the perfect scenario. But these are ways that we need to make sure we're dealing with conflict resolution. Understanding the situation, getting all the details. Have you ever got angry about a situation and you didn't have all the details and maybe you shouldn't have got angry? Give in when you can. Win-win. Look for mutual common ground. Not a win-win-win. There's no such thing as a win-win-win, just a win-win. and then agree to disagree. We can not agree on certain things. Now, that doesn't come down to biblical doctrinal things that there is an absolute truth on. That's not what I'm saying. But there are moments that we can agree to disagree. That's a Cliff Notes version of something that's much more complex. Thank you very much for your time and for me taking 2 more minutes. You all have a good night.